I'm a little bit overwhelmed right now. I'm so appreciative of your expression of love. I just a bit overwhelmed right now. But so let's lighten the moment just for a second before we get into word. I'm reminded of a story of an old man sitting on a porch, and he had a cane, and he was just balancing it on his thumb, minding his own business. He was around 88 years old, and about that time, his wife come out the screen door, and she said, "I've had it." He said, "What's wrong?" She said, "There's no romance in our marriage anymore. You never send me flowers. You never send me candy. In fact, I can't remember the last time you've actually kissed me. And I'm tired of it, so we're going to get some help." They've got a new thing now down at the church. We got a new pastor, and he's offering pastoral counseling, and you and I are going to go down and get some pastoral counseling. So they went down. The young fellow had just gotten out of seminary. He was so excited. He couldn't hardly wait for his first marriage counseling session. And the elderly woman began to say, "You know, he doesn't show me any affection. He doesn't bring me flowers. He doesn't bring me candy. In fact, I can't remember the last time he's actually kissed me." And about that time, the pastor got overwhelmed a bit, and he got a little too excited. He jumped up from behind his desk, ran around, grabbed the little lady up, kissed her right on the mouth, and set her back down and said, "She needs that about twice a week." And the old man said, "I reckon I can bring her in on Tuesdays and Thursdays." Now the moral of that story is there's some things other people can't work on for you. You have to work on for yourself. How many believe God's got a sense of humor, right? I believe he does. In fact, stand up, Kurt. Say, "I just proved." No, I just kidding. I love this guy. Let's take our Bibles tonight. I don't know who I'm sent for. I know I'm sent for at least one person tonight, because I want to deal with a subject that a lot of people experience, but they necessarily don't want to talk about it. But how many have ever been in a situation in your life where you really needed something from God, and it seemed like everybody else was getting blessed but you? Anybody ever been there? Okay, rest of you, bless your heart. Mark chapter 5, verses 22 through 34. We're going to just read verses 22 through 24 starting out. "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, and she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Here Jairus has come as a ruler of the synagogue on the behalf of someone else, and he's coming on behalf of his daughter, and he's saying, "My daughter's lying at the point of death, but I need a miracle." And I know who does miracles. I know that you do. Church, we do believe, don't we, that God does miracles. Don't we believe that what Jesus did, he still does, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's Jairus coming with this petition: "Come and heal my daughter." But something happened on the way. You know, you get all encouraged. You know Jesus is heading toward your situation. But then there's an interruption. There seems to be a delay. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where it seemed like there was a delay in the prayer and the need and the answer coming. But you should never get discouraged in the delay. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I want you to understand this, because delay does not necessarily mean denial. You need to understand that. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But on the way, something incredible happened. There was a lady who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she went to every doctor she could. She spent everything she had, but she never got better. In fact, she grew worse. She heard about Jesus, and so one of the people that was thronging him was her. And she came with this mindset. She said, "If I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." Now, first of all, she's not supposed to be there, because it's illegal for her to be there. simply because of the Leviticus law, anyone with an issue of blood was not supposed to be around a crowd, much less touching someone's hem of their garment. She would be considered to be unclean. Yet, faith sometimes just supersedes what the natural law says or spiritual law says, and it goes for what God says. And she just thought within herself, you know, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So she's pushing through. You're talking about persistence. She's pushing through a throng, and she touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus just stops in his tracks. Now, if you're Jairus and you're waiting on him to heal your daughter, you're thankful for and grateful for the fact that the lady is getting a miracle, but my goodness, you're thinking maybe, excuse me, my daughter? And so at this point, Jesus just stops and says, who touched me? And the disciples have thought he's lost his mind. There's hundreds of people thronging you right now. And Lord, there's all kinds of people bumping up against you. And you want to know who touched you? He said it was a different kind of touch. How many know it's possible to be in here on a big Wednesday night and be in the presence of Jesus and bump up against his presence and never see a miracle? Because the demand of faith was not made. And because here, he says something different about this touch. There was a demand of faith that was made upon me, and I felt virtue go out of me. And when he turned around, she, of course, was afraid because it's illegal what she's just done. It's unlawful. And yet when Jesus looked at her, he made this statement, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. How many know that took a few more minutes than just a couple? I mean, they're there for a while, and he's dealing with this lady. And in the meantime, everybody say, in the meantime. I never will forget, I've got a great friend that says, have you ever been prophesied to? And if you've been in ministry any time at all, you probably have. Have you ever been prophesied to that God's opening a door before you and shutting a door behind you? Anybody ever heard anything like that? His question is, did they fail to tell you about the long hallway in between? Because sometimes there's a time frame that's involved from the promise to the reality. And it's so strategic that you don't lose your faith in the delay time, where many people do. And so we see here that on his way to heal this little girl, he has to deal with this lady with an issue of blood. And yet, here's what happens. When Jairus comes, he says, my daughter is sick at the point of death. I'm going to make this point right now. Sometimes in delay, the problem worsens. May I remind you, delay is not denial, and we must not get discouraged in the delay time. So look at this in Mark 5, 35 through 43. And while he was still speaking, he's talking to this lady. Some come from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. When I got here, she was sick. Come on now, we're in Kentucky. Is there any sanctified person up in this room that would admit to me that if this were you, you would say, if you hadn't stopped and done this, huh? Come on. Hey, if you hadn't, good night, nurse, this took too long. Right? And so he says, your daughter is dead. Why? Oh, my. Prophetically, hear the word. When you feel like your dream is dead, it is not time to give up on your dream. Because they said to Jairus, why trouble the master any longer? Well, it's been a long time. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I know it's been prophesied over me. I know I've got a dream. I know God has spoken to me specifically about what he wants to do in my life, but there seems like there's been a great delay in between the time that God spoke to me to the reality of the promise that he's made to me. And so why should I trouble the master anymore? Why don't I just give up on my dream, and why don't I just go on about my life and do what I know I'm supposed to do? Too many dreams have been left in the ash pile, in the ash heap of disillusionment and disappointment, because it didn't happen on the time frame that you dictated to God. How many realize God, Jesus was not nervous about getting over to the guy's house? Now they said, I came here, my daughter was sick, and now because of this delay, my daughter is dead. So why should I trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, but we've needed this the last 18 months. Do not be afraid. Listen, guys. Fear will attract stuff to you just like faith will attract stuff to you. Fear will attract the negative. Faith will attract the promises of God. You say, well, qualify that. Okay, I will. Job said, that which I feared has come upon me. So there's an attractant in your life, and you have to choose. Here, he had to make a choice. Do I get into fear now because I've heard that my situation is worse? Or do I remain in faith? And Jesus assured him, don't be afraid, but just what? Only believe. Only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion? Why and weep like this? The child's not dead. This child's just asleep. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, sometimes you got to put some folks outside. I'm telling you. Robert can tell you, I don't tell anybody what's going on in my life physically. Too many people to have you at the funeral home before you even got, I'm telling you. In fact, if I have a need in my body, I'm not too sure I'm going to let any adults pray for me anyway. I'm going to children's church and get on the floor and say, guys, I'm serious. Hey, they pray for dogs and they get healed. I'm telling you, I'm all about that. Amen. So he said, he took the child when he entered. It said he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they, a moment ago, they were making fun. Let me tell you something. This cancel culture thinks they're winning. Let me say it over here. They think they're winning. But let me tell you something. The person that laughs last, laughs and laughs and just laughs. Because what happened is now they've moved from being critics and cynics to being amazed. He came in and said she was asleep. We thought he was crazy. We made fun of him. And guess what? She just walked out the room. Of course, we had to see it through the window because we've been put out. I don't want to get into this tonight, but guys, you've got to be real careful who speaks into your life. There'll always be people who tell you why you can't. Why trouble the master anymore? Why trouble the teacher anymore? Why trouble? Man, it's gone from bad to worse, and it's gone from sick to dead. There's no need. And then it says, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. He had asked Jesus to come to his house and pray for his daughter that was at the point of death, because he believed that if he prayed for her, that she would be healed. But because of the delay, of someone else getting blessed. That's why you need to learn the scripture that says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep, even if it means a delay for you and your situation goes from bad to worse. Is this making sense tonight? Okay. But on the way, delay occurred and the bad news came. Your daughter is dead. Delay has a tricky way about it. It causes us to want to question. And the question that usually comes is, if only, to be followed by other words. Now, in this case, he could have said, if only he hadn't stopped and took so much time with that woman. He didn't have to do all that. Have you ever run into people in church and you come and have a Holy Ghost meeting and everything just, paint's coming off the wall and people are having a great time and somebody's sitting back there going, it don't take all that. I've hit a nerve. It has the potential. I mean, what if? I don't mean, listen, please hear my heart tonight. What if my father had been a better father? What if I hadn't been molested as a child? What if I didn't have these things in my background generationally? What if? Delay has a way of making you question even the goodness of God and the timing of God. And if you're not careful, you can even become disappointed with God. I've even had people tell me, and I've told you this in the past, I've had people tell me, I'm angry at God. I'm thinking, well, you got more nerve than a government mule to be angry at God. When he flexes, stuff happens. In fact, he don't even have to yell to create. Job says it's just a whisper. When he created everything, it was just a whisper from God. So when we look at this tonight, I want you to understand, even though the potential there is to question, the lady had said, if only I touch his garment. Now Jairus is probably saying, if only she hadn't touched his garment. We see this in other scriptures too. We see where Mary and Martha both, but we'll focus in on Mary tonight. Question even God's timing. Their brother Lazarus had died, and Jesus heard that he was sick, just like this. He heard this girl was sick. And yet delay took place, not his fault, but delay took place, and questioning could have happened. I mean, why do I say that? Because they said, why trouble the teacher anymore? Does that not indicate that that could produce some questioning? And so they come. Jesus waits intentionally before he comes to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, and Lazarus has done been dead and buried for 3 days. And how many who don't understand spiritual things would say, God was late? But I will tell you tonight, God is never late. God is an on-time God. And he will get his glory. I think about it. You remember when Jesus said, she's not dead, but she's sleeping? Why did he say that? Because to him, oh, hallelujah. Because to him, it wasn't any more difficult to wake up a sleeping girl than a dead girl. And he still wants to raise the dead. And he's doing it. He's raising the spiritually dead, but I believe he also wants to raise the physically dead. You know what somebody says to me? They say, have you ever raised up someone from the dead? I said, not yet. I never say no, I just say not yet. Because you never know. Right? So Mary comes, and here's what she says in John 11:32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, 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 if you'd just been here, if you'd been here, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. Again, we see it. I feel like I'm talking to someone tonight that delay has been plaguing your mind and making you ask questions that you really know in your spirit you shouldn't be asking. I want you to look at this because notice Mary's statement. She said, if you had been here, if you had been on time. So directly or indirectly, no matter how you see it, it seems like she's actually laying the responsibility of her brother's death squarely upon his shoulders. My brother's dead because you weren't here. And Jesus said, well, you don't understand. I am. I'm not just I was, and I'm not just going to be, I'm going to be. I am presently the resurrection and the life. And now, you know, and then she does what we do, what I've done in the past. You know what she says? Yeah, I know. In the last day, Lord, you're going to raise him up. Delay will make you say silly things. See, she had faith in the past, had you been here, which is not faith at all. It's wishful thinking. And she had faith in the future, which is really not faith at all. It's hope. But where's the present faith? When you say, when God heals me, where are you talking about? In the future? Or are you going to declare what he's already declared? I am the healed of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so excited. I could almost take a lap. If I wasn't so fat, I would. Because I want you to understand something. Next Monday, I'm making earlier than that. Robert and I are going to leave here right after church. Next Monday, I'm getting on a plane to go see my grandbabies in Belgium. I'm an excited man, but I can't live in fear and operate in faith. Hope is in the future. And how many times do we say, God, when you do this, God, when in fact, I don't mean to be controversial, but I want you to understand something. Jesus is not going to do one more thing for your healing that he didn't do 2,000 years ago. He's already done it. I said, he's already done. By his stripes, we were healed. You say, well, why do we have sickness in our bodies? What? See, here we go again. How come it hadn't happened yet? What are you going to do in those delayed times? Are you going to question God? And not, if you're not careful, bring a railing accusation to place squarely upon his shoulders like she did? Lord, if you'd been here, I can't wrap my mind around people saying, I wonder if God is faithful. Are you kidding me? You wonder if God is faithful? To quote one of the little ladies in my church years ago, when I asked her to get up and pray, she said, Lord, I want to thank you for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. Your name is Jesus. How many realize the very fact you're sitting in that pew breathing with a heartbeat means that God is faithful? Now, thank God that Jairus didn't listen to the messengers. Because there will always be messengers of doubt and fear that will try to detour you off your destined path. He's got a daughter that needs to be healed. They're saying your daughter is dead. There's no need to trouble the master anymore. The master says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Now, this is either his getting off point or his committal point that says, I'm going to see this thing through. And guys, I'm 67 years old. I'm going to see this thing through. There's going to be a revival in this nation. There's coming a revival in this nation. There's coming another great awakening in this nation. But, in the meantime, I'm just going to live in revival. Amen. I'm not waiting for the great awakening to come. I'm going to be awakened right now. Please don't be offended. I'm not going to be woke, but I am going to be awakened. I did out loud, and it's going out on the internet. Can you believe that? Praise God. I find myself saying things like, oh, Lord, do you really? Okay. See, here's what happens, guys. In times of delay, people are tempted to assign blame to the wrong person. It goes all the way back to the garden where Adam said, Lord, it was that woman you gave me. Now, some of y'all better straighten up, okay? Because you're not what you are because the woman you're with. You are because you made either poor or good choices. But anyway, you know. No. You see, here's the deal. You think he's blaming the woman. He's not. He's blaming God. He's not blaming the woman. And women, so that I can go away here tonight knowing that at least you love me. Eve did not sin. She was deceived. She did sin, but she was deceived. Adam took a bite on purpose. Now, how many women love me a lot better right now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's what I want you to see. He says, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But I want you to look at two words right here. As soon as, I love this, Jesus heard. He's heard the negative voices that have been spoken against your dream. He's heard the discouraging voices that's been spoken over your life. How many times in prison, and I haven't been able to go for over a year and it's about to break my heart, but how many times in prison have I broken word curses over residents in a prison? You know, words like this from a father that was dysfunctional, that would say something like this, you're never going to amount to anything. And I heard those words myself. To a child that heard this, you have messed up your life. You can't do anything right. You can't measure up. And people spend their lives trying to measure up. And even when they come to church and try to go to church, they even still trying to measure up to get God's acceptance, when you need to understand you can't do enough to get God's acceptance. Only way you can get God's acceptance is in the beloved, because you are the accepted in the beloved. Jesus heard. It may have seemed that the delay created an impossible situation. We go from sick to dead, as I said earlier. But there's two important words. Jesus heard. Hear this. He's still aware of the dream. We don't have time to talk about Joseph tonight, but he's still aware of the dream. And when everybody tells you you can't, he's hearing it. But he's looking for your response. Will your response be like Mary's? Lord, if you'd been here on time, I'm going to assign blame to you. Or your response going to be like Jairus and says, hey, I've come this far. I'm going to keep walking with him. What have I got to do? lose. If I quit now, she's going to stay dead. But if I keep walking, somebody needs to hear that tonight. I don't know why the prophetic comes out of me in this place, but I want you to hear this. You keep walking. You say, but it's a dead situation. Guess what? You're walking with the one who is the resurrection and the life. Just keep walking. It's in times of delay that our need seemingly becomes impossible. It's in times of delay that people even entertain the thought of quitting or giving up. It becomes an option. Why trouble the teacher any further? Why continue to believe? Why to continue to worship in your pain? There are only two times you should worship God: when you feel like it and when you don't. And you probably should worship Him more when you don't feel like it than when you do, because worship has a way of opening prison doors. Woo! Glory to God. I felt that one. Why continue to press in? Well, let me remind you why. Because delay is not denial. Here's Jesus' response. The people said, "She's dead." Jesus responded, "Don't be afraid, only believe." In delay and in life, fear will try and attempt to rob us of the faith that God's placed in our heart. And fear must be confronted with faith. You can't do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're not going to survive. Oh, yes, I am. And just to prove it, I'm going to bless the Lord right in front of you. How many know that He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies? And you need to understand. Here's what I do to the devil. I just start worshiping God. It, boy, gives him a headache. It really does. Messes him up. I said, "What's this? You don't think I'm going to make it? What's this? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His many benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who's redeemed my life from destruction and crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Take that. You have to understand. Fear exaggerates the problem. The exaggeration created an atmosphere, number one, of doubt. It tries to create an atmosphere of doubt. But it goes further. It tries to create an atmosphere of impossibility, and it tries to create an atmosphere of finality. There's no use. It's, what's the use? It's over. They ridiculed Him. They laughed at Him. Obviously, to them, He had underestimated the seriousness of the moment, and it was due to His delay. Look at verse 41 again with me, please. We're just about to land this plane. I hope you've enjoyed your flight. Then He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumma," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Why trouble the teacher? She's dead. Who's he think he is? She's not sleeping. She's dead. We'll ridicule him. Immediately. Are you kidding me? We've been delayed. We've been waiting on you. How many realize your delay is His immediately? You'll get that later. Just try to watch this again sometime and see if it don't come up. The girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years old, and they were overcome with great amazement. I've just been sent here to Central Kentucky to tell somebody, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on that word God's given you, and don't let delay. Don't let delay derail the final and ultimate destination that God has planned for you. Because delay could not derail the purposes of God. What they considered to be late, he considered to be on time, because there was more to be had to understand. Had he just gone and raised up a sick girl, that would have been wonderful. But how many realize raising up this dead girl proves to everybody it's no big deal for him, and God gets the glory. Someone says, oh my, God healed somebody that was sick, and we give God praise and we think that's wonderful. And I'll tell you what, let's just say that God raised up somebody from the dead. How many know that that's a little bit more amazing? Come lay your hands on my daughter. That was his request. Remember, come lay your hands on my daughter and she will live. That's what he said. Come lay. I'm about done, but please hear me. Come lay your hands on my daughter and she will live. Thank God at that junction in the road where he could have given in to allowing delay to discourage him and derail him. He didn't do it, because his request was still, come lay your hand on my daughter and she will live. You can come lay your hand on my sick daughter, or you can come lay your hand on my dead daughter. It don't matter. If you come lay your hand, she will live. The answer, delay and all, was the fact that he came. He took her by the hand and he raised her to life. We might think of it as delay, but he is always on time, and the end result was healing, amazement, and joy. And I don't know about you, and I'm not indicting the church at all. I love the church. You can ask Pastor Eric, and you ask these other pastors, you can ask. I love the church. You want to mess up, you say something negative about the church, you've done the wrong thing. Because the church is the bride of Christ. I love Sherry. She's my best friend. I might say something about her, but you better not. You don't want to mess with old guys. Because if you get in a fight with an old guy, if you win, you just beat up an old guy. That's it. But on the other hand, if the old man whipped you, you got beat up by an old guy. And another fact you need to keep in mind about old guys is they'll shoot you. They'll shoot you. So I'm not indicting the church, but I want you to know something. For 20 months, the devil's tried to put the church in retreat. And I say it's time for some amazement. It's time for some fulfilled destiny. It's time for joy to be released in the house. And the only way that's going to happen is when we don't give in to doubt and fear in times that you perceive to be delays, but only believe. This has gone from bad to worse, but I'm just going to keep walking with him, because my original request was just lay hands on my baby. So we might as well go ahead and do that. Guys, don't give in to doubt and fear in times that you think God's taking too long. And don't let delay rob you of the dream that God is on the way to fulfill. Would you stand with me tonight, please? Pastor, how do you want to do this? There's a lot of people in here tonight, and I'm not going to call you to come forward, but how many realize that there are times that we do lay hands on people, and that's, if that's led by the Spirit, that's wonderful. And there are times we anoint people with oil, and that's a scriptural admonition as well, and that's wonderful. But how many know you can't limit God to just some methods? God can do anything He wants to. You know why? Because God is God all by Himself. And if you're in this room, and I'm not going to do a big emotional thing here, I'm just going to say, if you're in this room and the delay has gotten to you lately and you needed to hear a word of encouragement, and you would say tonight, Pastor, I'm not going to get discouraged in my delay. I'm not going to give up faith in my delay. I still have a request of God, and I'm going to walk with Him until He accomplishes it. If you're in this room right now, please give me the honor of praying for you. If this message has ministered to you, you just know. You know, you just feel like you're here, and I've been talking to you the whole time. If that's you, would you simply raise your hand right where you are and say, Pastor, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Would you keep them up? Would you keep them up? Would you join the other one with it as an act of worship and praise? He loves you so much. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I've not given up on you. And the admonition is, don't you give up on me. Father, I pray for everyone who has their hands raised in this room tonight. Lord, there are things that we don't understand. There are questions we have unanswered. But one thing we do know, that when the naysayers come around and say it's no use, it's over, it's final, it's fatal, God, that we can know that you hear. And the very fact you hear and give us the admonition of saying, don't be afraid, only believe. And just come on, let's walk together until we see this thing through. I pray tonight, Father, new courage has come, new faith has come, new anticipation has come. To everyone with their hands raised tonight, I speak it over them in Jesus' name. And I declare tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name, that we're not going to give up, we're not going to give out, and we're not going to give in, but we are going to hold to the hand who promised to go with us. We will not take anything for our journey now. This is pilgrimage. This is process. And we are in it for the long haul. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.